Good evening. I want to welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church and thank you for coming out on this Holy Thursday to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are glad everyone is here and see some faces I haven't seen in a while, and we're so thankful that you're here to worship with us this evening. A couple announcements. You can see some in the bulletin. Jim asked me to make this. He gave a nice little talk Sunday about the gardening and invited some people to be a part of the gardening teams, and we have gotten a good response from that and just wants to extend that invitation if anyone would like to be a part of the gardening team. And you can talk to him, Jim Teggy, and you can sign up. On the table in the back there is a sign-up sheet. Also, as we have been promoting for the past several weeks, the Bible on the History Channel. The final one will be on the History Channel this Sunday at 8 o'clock, but if you've not seen the other ones, you can watch those earlier. They're re-showing them. They're also showing other nights of the week on History Channel and also on Lifetime, so you can go back and tape them if you've not done so and watch those. Also tonight, and I kind of want to warn you, as we transition into Good Friday, I normally do a reading and then we leave in silence. We'll still leave in silence tonight. But because of the Bible series and the videos that we're showing in the church, I also have one on the crucifixion. And so instead of doing the readings that I normally do, I am going to show that video. It is very dramatic. It is like the crucifixion would have been. It's not all that long, but I am going to show that tonight. So if it makes anybody feel uncomfortable or a child that might not want to see it, I want to let you know before it happens so you can be aware of that. The evening's loose collection will be given to the session to further their work. We ask that each, as we serve communion, that you hold your elements. When the bread is served, you hold it, and we'll announce that everyone will take it in unity, together. I think that is it. And Good Friday, the sanctuary will be open between the hours of noon and 3, and the heat has been set, and the heat will be on too, so you can come in and read or pray, do whatever you would like to do. Hopefully some people will be here. If you'll take your red pad, sign it, pass it down, we have a record of your attendance, and if your name, if any information has changed, email, cell phone, telephone, whatever, we would like to have a record of that. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise this evening, 184. In the cross of Christ I glory.
Yeah.
But our worship continues with the prayer of confession you find printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for remembering us. We praise Jesus for giving us the gift of communion. Forgive us when we do not receive it with a clean heart. Help us to put our sins behind us. Teach us how to rise above our addictions. Remind us that getting closer to you is our best weapon against Satan. May we look to the cross for inspiration. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins, and we are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Once again, reaffirm our faith through our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
God the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet God's family.
Sacrifice the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God.
That's why we're here tonight, the Lamb of God. Our responsive reading is a contemporary affirmation of faith, 718 in the back of your hymnals. We believe in Jesus Christ the Lord, who was promised to the people of Israel, who came in the flesh to dwell among us, who announced the coming of the rule of God, who gathered disciples and taught them, who died on the cross to free us from sin, who rose from the dead to give us life and hope, who reigns in heaven at the right hand of God, who comes to judge and bring justice to victory.
We believe in God, his Father, who raised him from the dead, who created and sustains the universe, who acts to deliver his people in times of need, who desires all men everywhere to be saved, who rules over the destinies of men and nations, who continues to love men even when they reject him.
We believe in the Holy Spirit, who is the form of God present in the church, who moves men and women to faith and obedience, who is a guarantee of our deliverance, who leads us to find God's will in the Word, who assists those whom he renews in prayer, who guides us in discernment, who impels us to act together.
We believe God has made us his people, to invite others to follow Christ, to encourage one another to deeper commitment, to proclaim forgiveness of sins and hope, to reconcile men to God through word and deed, to bear witness to the power of love over hate, to proclaim Jesus the Lord ever all, to meet the daily tasks of life with purpose, to suffer joyfully for the cause of right, to the ends of the earth, to the end of the age, to the praise of his glory.
I invite Dale on the door to present any prayer requests.
We have one prayer request today and one praise request. The first prayer request is for Tom Brooker, who's a friend of Kathy Sagey. He has complications from surgery. He got a blood clot in his new vein that was replaced, and now he has sepsis. So please keep him in your prayers. The praise request is for Al Swedico, is that the way you say? Okay. This is Kathy's brother. Thanks for your prayers. He's finally got back to work after being laid off for almost 6 months. That's good news. Please keep these people in your prayers.
Thank you. I had a couple real quick. Verna was in Passavant for a few days. Testing her, had some problems with her hip, but I couldn't find anything wrong, so she is back home resting and here in church tonight. I didn't see it till just now. So we're glad nothing was wrong. Also, Paul Kosherhook had surgery today. They were removing a mass from his abdomen, about an inch and a half. Whether it's cancerous or not, don't know, it's being sent out. But they ended up taking about a foot of his small intestines and resection because there was being some damage done to it. Don't think that was cancerous there. So we won't know until those results are in. But he went in at 5:30 this morning and operated and was out and through about 11. So keep him in prayer, and his wife Diane also, and all their family. Let's remember the Bible series and Easter, that people's lives will be touched and changed, and people will come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity, this privilege, together in freedom to worship you, something that not everyone in the world has. We ask for your blessings this night upon this service. When we receive communion, the Lord's Supper, that we are touched in a very unique and a very powerful and a moving way. That we get something out of this service through the fellowship and through the music, through the word, that you touch us, that we feel your presence, And even if we don't feel you, that we still know that you are there with us, never to leave us, never to forsake us, never to abandon us, that you're there for all of eternity. We lift up all these names that have been mentioned this evening, those that are in the bulletin, those that are in the valley, and those that we might have a silent prayer that we're whispering up to you now. We come into agreement. You've told us where two or three are gathered in your name, you are there in their midst. We thank you for that. So we present these prayers to you to answer them according to your will, your glory, your might. Thank you, Lord. Help us to be strong in our faith, to endure all the trials and the tribulations that we have on this side of heaven. Help us to be strong, and help us to be faithful to you and to your word. And thank you for this wonderful, beautiful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation, 323, let us break bread together. Let's bow for a prayer of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, this evening we thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ, that he was willing to go to it, knowing the suffering and the shame that he would have to endure, but he cared enough for humanity that he was willing to do it. Lord, Sometimes we don't realize how real that was in his humanity to suffer. Help us to understand that, to put away our sins and to serve you. And we serve you by giving of our monies, of our time, our talents, of our love, everything that we do for you and we do for our neighbors, our friends, for our church, even for people we may not like. We do in the name of the kingdom of God. Let your peace reign. Let people hear your name and believe and find the peace that passes all understanding. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to serve you. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Amen. Thank you. Well, I've been doing things so different for a while, I've got to stop and think what I'm doing. I used to Bill reading the scripture, didn't even think about that, and I've been reading it during the sermon in the series we're doing, Journey From, and Easter it'll be Journey From Darkness to Light. The scripture this evening is Luke 22, 14 through 20. Listen this evening for God's word to you. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." I believe that God always blesses the reading and the hearing of his holy word. Tonight, as we eat the bread and drink the cup of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, we're signifying that Christ is neither gone nor is he forgotten. We're signifying that he is present here with us as we take communion in just a few moments in remembrance of him and what he did for us personally, and for all of humanity. Travelers down I-75 in the eastern part of Tennessee, just north of Knoxville, will see a sign that talks about the Museum of Appalachia. It's a unique museum as the handiwork of John Irwin, a former school teacher and historian who tried to capture the best of the Appalachian culture. A reporter from the Smithsonian Magazine tells of being shown Irwin's office, which was overflowing with books and items that were waiting to be tagged. And hanging in Irwin's office was his most prized artifact. It's a crazy quilt made up of solids and plaids embossed with various animals and everyday items. There's a chicken, a horse, a salamander, a fiddle, a Jew's harp. There are words, "God bless our family." The quilt was made by Irwin's grandmother, who pieced it together at the turn of the century before she was married. Irwin first laid eyes on the quilt years ago, and until he saw it, he said he knew nothing of his grandmother's passions or her talents or really who she was as a human being. She had not put the quilt, the things she had put on the quilt, the things that she had liked. And if it were not for the quilt, her great grandkids would not really have known her except her name. And then she spent her time doing the things that grandmothers do, cleaning and cooking and darning socks and ironing and things like that. They would not have known about her artistic abilities. In apparent contradiction to the otherwise anonymous nature of her life, she inscribed a plea on the quilt that Irwin calls the most dramatic two words that he had ever heard. They simply said, "Remember me." Remember me. That quiet mountain woman did not want to be forgotten. She wanted to be remembered. And I think all of us want to be remembered in a positive and a good way. A pastor tells of celebrating the Lord's Supper with Father Lawrence Jenko, a former hostage for several years in Beirut, Lebanon, in the sacrament, when Father Jenko came to the place where the priest repeats the request to his disciples, "Do this in remembrance of me." Father Jenko instead said, "Don't forget me." How many times, says the pastor, must Jenko have wondered in the dark prison where he was alone and suffering, whether anyone in the outside world even remembered that he even existed? In those long years, this good man was taken up into the heart of Jesus as Jesus too was about to be seized and tortured. He knew that Jesus too was afraid that the whole life would be for nothing, that he would be forgotten. He had good reason to think so. He didn't predict that even his closest friends would run away when he was arrested. And they did. "Don't forget me." Ever since that day, says this pastor, whenever I celebrate the Eucharist, I hear Jesus saying that to me. "Don't forget me." It's so easy to forget. Our lives get so busy. The world is so much to us. But this is what Jesus asks us, that we remember him. That is why we're here this evening, to remember. And it's so easy. I know the older I get, I forget things so easily. And I was telling somebody before the service, I just forget things that I should remember. I just forget them. An Italian mystic and novelist, Luigi Santucci, sought to capture Christ's thoughts at the Last Supper with his disciples. And these are his words. "At this point, I see his eyes wandering around the remains of the bread on the tablecloth and then shining with an ineffable inspiration. This would be the hiding place. That's where he would take refuge, in the bread which he broke for his disciples. That night, the soldiers wouldn't capture him in his entirety. They'd think they'd done so. They'd think they'd dragged him away from his companions. Yet really, they would scourge and crucify a ghost, because he has hidden himself within the bread. Brothers in Galilee, when they wanted to seize him and kill him or make him a king, he had the knack of hiding himself and disappearing from them, just walking away from them in plain sight. So he stretched out his hand over the already broken bread, broke it into smaller pieces, and raising in the air, pronounced the words, what they call a magic transition. This is my body, which has been given for you. That's why I looked over the tablecloths for the easiest, most familiar, and most concrete thing, the bread. That evening, Christ measured out for millions of evenings before we'd see his face to face. He measured out that long separation. He knew that men forget things within a few days, that distance destroys things. If Peter himself and John and Andrew and James would forget, then in order that his children and grandchildren shouldn't forget, he had to throw himself between himself and me, that never-ending bridge of bread. And what a great image. We eat bread every day and we don't think about it, but then we come here tonight and we look at this bread and we partake of it. And there's something special about it, because we do it not just as a religious rite or an act, but we do it remembering what Jesus Christ has done for us. He's given his life for us. He's paid the debt of our sins that we could not pay ourselves. That's what the Lord's Supper has been for Christians for 2,000 years. Ever since Christ's death and resurrection, it has real meaning. It is a bridge from us to him, from him to us. And as long as we eat the bread and drink the cup, we will not forget. We will not lose touch with those of who we are and what Christ has done for us. Do you remember the climax of the story of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus? They found themselves in the presence of the risen Christ, but they didn't realize who he was, and they were walking with him and talking with him, and he was telling them stories. At the end of the story, they did not have the, they had their eyes open, and they recognized him. But how? Luke tells us it's when it was in the breaking of the bread. There's something so powerful about that. As long as we have the bread, as long as we have the cup, we will remember. Putting aside all the theological stuff and the division that churches might have of whether Christ is in the bread or remembrance, however, the visions, putting aside all those questions, when and how often? Some churches do it every Sunday. Some do it the first Sunday. And we have our tradition here at Glenshaw Valley. But communion is simply about waiting and remembering. Each time we as a community of faith gather around the table to take the communion, and you're served by the elders, and you hold that bread, and you hold that juice, and we take it in unity, you're not just remembering Christ and what he did for you. You're also waiting, remembering that he said, "I will come again." We're remembering that this is the risen Lord. This is the Lord that is alive, the Lord that they could kill, but they could not keep in that grave. We're waiting for that Lord to return. And so as you take the bread and the cup this night, in your heart, I hope that you'll give thanks. And you think, they killed him, but he's not dead. He is alive. And he has ascended into heaven. And he is coming back. He will come to get his church. If you brought a burden with you in here tonight, maybe it's an illness that you have yourself or a family member. Maybe it's employment. Maybe it's a spiritual thing. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a sin. Whatever it is, lay it on the table tonight before you take communion. Pray about it. Give it over to the Lord. He can take it from you. He can handle what you yourself cannot handle. I know I used this little illustration not too long ago, but I want to use it again this evening. One Sunday morning, a little boy commented, "I like it when we have bread and medicine at church." And she was trying to figure out what he was talking about. Bread and medicine at church? Well, we don't have any bread and medicine at church. We had communion. And she started thinking about it, and she remembered the little cups are like the medicine that she would give him when he was sick with a cold or something to make him feel better. And I like that illustration because when we take communion, isn't it kind of like we're taking medicine, holy medicine, to cleanse us, to free us from sin, to set us free, medicine for the soul. So this night, take and eat. Do this in remembrance of what Christ has done for us. And remember, also, even though it's not Easter yet, it's Easter every day because he has risen. May God bless you. Amen. Our communion hymn, "Break Thou the Bread of Life," 274. Thank you. I'd like to remind you, everyone is welcome to receive communion tonight. You do not have to be a member of our church. You do not have to be Presbyterian. We just ask that you are a believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Any young people in here, we leave that up to the parents to decide. Let us bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening to receive communion, the Lord's Supper, to do in remembrance of you for the sacrifice that you made at Calvary. You gave your very life that we might have life and life eternal. We thank you. But we continue in our rebellion. We continue in our sin. Help us to move past that and hold on to you in a closer way. Help us to realize the importance of looking into our Bibles, to read the Word of God. It gives us strength to fight against the enemy. You said in Scripture that we should not come to the table unworthily. The many are sick among us because of that. So we take the opportunity now to confess to you our sins as Christians. Forgive us, Lord. Cleanse us. We could not come at all if it was not for your righteousness. Of course, our righteousness is filthy rags. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your salvation. In our Lord's name we do pray. Amen. On the day that our Lord and Savior was betrayed, he took the bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he said, "This is my body which has been given for you. As often as you eat it, do so in remembrance of me." Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. No one comes to the Father except let us with reverence and unity remember our Lord Jesus Christ. On the same day that our Lord and Savior is betrayed, he took the cup of the New Testament, pouring it, saying, this is my blood, which has been shed for the remission of the sins of the many. As often as you drink it, do so in remembrance of me. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Paul wrote, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, then you shall be saved. The greatest commandment, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and your neighbor like yourself. In reverence, let us remember the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Moving to our transition to Good Friday. Someone want to dim the lights?
Thank you.
181, were you there? Verses 1, 2, and 3.